Thanks for listening to the Declaration Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from Dr. Michael Smalley. For more information about Declaration Church and other resources, visit declaration.org.
Your grace is sufficient. That's a clip from the movie Paul the Apostle, and the kind of mean-looking younger guy in the flashback was Paul when he was persecuting Christians. I mean, he was just running around trying to kill as many as he possibly could, all for God. And obviously, Paul had an experience on the road to Damascus. That's what this morning is for you. I am praying, and I was walking around in the back during worship, and that's the word God gave me for the 11 a.m. service, is that he wants you to have that road to Damascus experience, that kind of radical heart change. Because here's the truth. Paul was tormented, just tormented by those memories. And so Paul, and that's why I love the scene, because that's, you know, when he's in prison, he's about to get beheaded, and he keeps having these nightmares as they depict it, and he just wakes up. And it's like for the first time, the words from Paul the Apostle came alive for me. Because it was in that moment of suffering, of regret, of guilt, of pain, the things that I have done, Lord. And he just wakes up, and his response to the suffering was, "Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough." And that's what this morning is for you, because you need it. You have the thorn, and you need his grace, but far too often we don't tap into it, and you miss out on the blessings. And if you don't know who I am and you're wondering why John's not up here, I'm Michael Smalley, and part of the team here at Declaration. John asked me if I could do this Sunday, and when he said, "Hey, are you going to be here on this Sunday?" I went, "Actually, I will be home, and can you do the sermon?" I went, "Yeah, I'd love to." And then he told me what we were in, exhale, that we need renewal. The Lord instantly told me what the message was going to be. And I was a little bit resistant at first, but because of this very morning and this jacket, I know that it was God telling me what I was going to preach on. I know it unequivocally because of this jacket. This is how good our God is. Our God is so infinitely good that he does things like this jacket. Did you have any idea how powerful this jacket was? Devil ain't the guy in the jacket, it's the jacket. Because God loves me personally so much, this morning as I was hustling and running around trying to get ready, I wanted to get here early to help set up. Is that believable? Feels like it's not. So, because I asked you, "What time do you typically get here?" And you're like, 6:30. And I thought, I might be sick tomorrow morning. And so I'm running around, and it's not, you know, really bright yet. And I was about to leave, and I was like, "Ooh, I'm going to need that new jacket I bought." And so it was laying on our kitchen table. I grabbed it, and I would start putting it on. I'm like, "Hey," because my wife and I just bought it at TJ Maxx. And I'm like, "Where's the hood? Oh, come on." And then my boys are here. There's one of them, David. I don't know where Cole is. He left me. That's what a good parent I... Oh, there he is. Yeah, I'm a good parent again. He loves me. And so I instantly went to one of you, just so you know, in full confession. I was like, one of those boys probably ripped my hood off. And then I'm like going, "Well, there's no hole." So I go into our bedroom where my wife is laying down. She's not as spiritual as I am. I'd already done devotionals, all sorts of. And so I'm like, "Hey, honey, I'm so sorry, but I go, what jacket is this? I mean, the one we just bought is, it doesn't have a hood. What am I wearing?" And I had it on. And she's like, "That was your father's jacket." I went, "What?" And I've been a mess all morning. Been crying a lot, uncomfortably. My father graduated to heaven almost 3 years ago, March 6th, 2016. And he wore this jacket almost every day for the last 18 months of his life. Because my wife and I had the honor of caring for him at our home and home hospice. And he was always cold. And this was his favorite jacket. How crazy is God? He knew just one of the ways he was going to bless me by telling me, I want you to do your dad's favorite illustration or my favorite word picture that my father ever did. That's what he told me to do the message on today. And then the morning, my wife got this out of storage or something and decided to wash it. And so it was out on the table because she had washed it. And then I grabbed it and I can wear it. It fits. If you don't remember, I'm down 114 pounds. So you know what I just wrote? Thank you. That was real encouraging. Oh, and I'm like, sorry, it's no big deal or anything. And so I just remember between the nine and this service, I just remembered that I used to entertain my father because I like to make people laugh with this jacket because it couldn't fit. And if you remember the Chris Farley, fat guy in a little coat, I would do that and it would be in bad, like literally if I'd gone, hey, it would have ripped. But I knew I couldn't because it was his blankie and he was dying. So that'd be really mean. Don't mess with dying people. That's just rude. And I used to do that, fat guy. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it fits. That was like choking back, crying. It fits. And what I've never shared publicly before was my father's literal last words to me as he, before he, like a few days before he graduated to heaven, his literal last words were not the best. And I was having this moment with him and he was really slowing down and not talking very much. And I thought, I need to be intentional and I need to share. And so I went, hey, do you have like any, because I was about to leave on a trip and he could have graduated while I was gone. And I went, is there anything left unsaid? I mean, do you have any final words for me? Like, this is a moment, right? And he's like thinking and he, you know, tells me to come closer. I'm like, whoa, this is going to be incredible. He's written 62 books and all these videos. And I'm like, this is going to be deep. And I come in, he goes, you really need a new truck. I went, really? I go, you're choosing to make your last words to me sarcastic because he hated my truck. He gave me grief constantly about my truck. And those were his final words. But the more significant one was maybe a few days earlier because he knew it was coming. And he and I didn't share it because, frankly, it kind of hurt my feelings. And, you know, he was a wonderful man. But he kind of pulled me aside in a private moment and just said, hey, promise me after I die that you're going to lose weight. And I wanted to go, well, now we have a little idea why I am fat. Thanks, Dad. I was like, really? This is the conversation we're going to have now? So that was like the last meaningful conversation. Was I really hope that, now I know his heart, okay? His heart is that he loved me and I was 305 pounds. And, but that was just kind of like, oh. And then 3 years later, I'm wearing his coat that I used to do the really sad dance in. 3 years. God is that good. God cares for you. And so in this time right now and in this series called XL, today is about renewal. Today is about what is your source of power. And so my father was famous for using objects. I don't use objects because of my father. When you're the son of a really, now it's just getting hot, Dad, so I'm going to have to take this thing off. Oh. Anyone want to wear it? It's a death jacket. Here you go. Come on. Don't let it hit the ground. There you go. So, this morning is about renewal. The reason I wanted that clip from Paul the Apostle is that, you know, our key passage this morning is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Even though, and these are Paul's words, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, which he's referencing this time, and we really don't get it, but where he describes like going into the heaven and like hearing things that no mortal should have ever heard. He goes, so to keep me from becoming proud about that experience, I was given a thorn in my flesh. This is easily the most famous thorn in the history of the world. We all want to know what was the thorn. And he doesn't tell us. It was not very nice. A messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. This is what God keeps telling him when he's begging him. This is miserable, Lord. I don't know what's miserable in your life. And I think, I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, but I'm glad that Paul didn't tell us, because then we could get all fixated on what that thorn was. But what instead Paul chose to do was say, there is something that really is afflicting me, that is tormenting me, that is bothering me, that is draining me of my life energy. You have that. And I don't know what your thorn is. I hope somebody does. I know you want freedom, by the way. Why do you think we talk about freedom here all the time? The point of this morning is that freedom only comes from one source. So if you're not experiencing freedom yet, then this morning and my objects that I have chosen are going to tell you where you get that freedom. So 3 different times, and God keeps responding, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. That's why I love Jesus. Who says that? And in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have a great quote here from, who was it? Somebody. James Davis. Paul's experience itself then illustrates his message to the church. That's us right here this morning. The true boast of an apostle, of one sent out by the Lord on a mission, is that in the course of such a mission, the Lord has faithfully provided power in moments of necessity, so that the apostle may claim, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what the disciple of Christ gets to boast about, is that because of Jesus, I am strong. Because of Jesus's power, I am strong. It's not me, it's him. This morning, and if you need renewal in your life, if you're feeling drained, the illustration, the word picture my dad did forever was, if you need renewal and you're hurting and that thorn in your side, that spouse that doesn't want to do, that doesn't want to change, that kid who spits in your face, right, is rebellious, to that in-law, to the sister, to the brother, to that person, that circumstance, that lack of finances. I don't know what the thorn is that's tormenting you and draining your internal battery. This morning, you got to understand that you need to look at who you are. The essence of you is like a battery. All right? And so when your battery is feeling drained, when your battery is getting low on power, then we need to recharge it, right? We need to renew it. We need to bring in the power. The reality, though, does anybody know what this is? It's a what? Yeah, but what voltage? It's a 220. So this is not a normal power cord, is it? This is huge. Here, that's the cool kid. Tell me how heavy this thing is. And don't try to be brave and be like, oh, it's nothing. Surprisingly heavy, isn't it? He did it. Thank you. This is like a significant power cord. This is the cord that you have for your internal battery that is who you are. The very nature of you, your soul, has a 220. People, places, and things are a 110. So the things of this world, people, places, and things, houses, cars, money, those are all 110s. Look at that one compared to this one. That's a big difference. Now, here's, I think, why Jesus loves me most, like just loves me, is I'm an idiot. Because, and this is why I don't like doing props. One, I don't want to be a homer, because my dad did it, and people be like, oh, wow, your daddy didn't. You're a loser. I'm insecure about stuff. And so the other reason is I don't think everything through. All right, I'm not like you. You're so much smarter than I am. And you think of everything. And I was like, I'm going to get it. And I'm going to. And I, by the way, I didn't even think about buying these until this morning. I was just going to verbally tell you. And I thought, if I'm going for it, I got to have the object. And so this morning at the 9 a.m., I did not think it until this very moment when I went, you're a 220. People, places, and things are a 110. So if you try to plug... I got two males. Really? I was like, that just became a totally different illustration. And I don't know how comfortable I am trying to get two males to join together. I was like, really, Lord? And I know my dad. If he can, he's like, oh, you're a knuckle. I love it. He's dying laughing right now. Because this is me. This is who I am. Fairly thoughtless and irresponsible and inappropriate. So, sorry, but I got to do the illustration. So, here's what happens. If you're feeling drained and you're needing renewal, I'm telling you, you are plugging in this 220 into these 110s. People, places, and things. That's why you're drained and discouraged and feeling powerless and hopeless. It's because you're trying to fit into the wrong power source. They can't do it. And look at this. These are totally different things. So even if you could, like even if I cut the cable, right? And I got my 220, but I'm so desperate because if my wife doesn't change, I can't be happy. If my job doesn't get better, I can't be happy. If my kid doesn't turn their life around, I can't be happy. If my parent doesn't change, I can't be happy. Those are lies because none of them are capable of making you happy. And the very reason you're unhappy and wiped out in life is because you keep trying to plug into this weak little flimsy thing. So even if, and this is what a lot of us do, we get desperate. And so we really try and we might actually like expose the cable in here. And now we have that. I don't even know what it is. But now we're trying to fit it onto here. And even if we could connect it, if I'm able to like, you know, rig it together, and I turn on, I'll let you look at these, and I turn on the power, and I flip the switch, what's going to happen? I'm either going to blow that 110 thing out of the water, or it's just going to slowly drain the life from me. Because people, places, and things of this world are 110. They're not, they don't have the right connector. The 220 is God. So I have to be able to plug into God. There I get all the power I need. I get renewed. I become refreshed. So whatever you're discouraged of this, like today, whatever that thorn is, you got to go and plug into him. Why do you need to do that? And you know, there's some ideas on, you know, what was Paul so upset about. It could have been physical affliction. It could, some people think from Galatians that there's, you know, he had an eye disease. He was very vulnerable to significant spiritual and psychological struggles. Shares about that in 2 Corinthians. Some of the super apostles and some of these false brothers were wreaking havoc in his life, constantly mocking him, constantly undoing all these healthy churches he'd been planting. I mean, the dude was frustrated. We don't know what they are. But here's your answer, okay? And one of the things also that God gave me this morning when I asked, what do they need? What do they need to hear? And this is really weird coming from me, trust me. But the Lord has told me, tell them to write down these verses. And so you might not normally take notes, but I'm just going to ask that pull out your smartphone, or if you have paper and pen, if you're one of those old-time weirdos. Oh, weirdo, weirdo, weirdo. You're a very beautiful weirdo. Is it appropriate to hit on women in the church from the stage? If she's my wife, though? That's appropriate. Okay, good. That was my wife. I don't want anyone leaving the church because the pastor was hitting on women. Don't judge me. So God said specifically, I want them to write these verses down, not out of fundamentalism, not out of legalism. Trust me, my wife would tell you I'm the least legalistic person in the room, but out of obedience. Because that's what God wants from you this morning. So you might not be a normal note taker, but you better be this morning because I'm looking. We need the house lights up a little more so I can identify people. Like my son, who literally has his arms folded in anger. I will not take a note. He's wounded, isn't he? Oh, yeah, his hand. You do have stitches in your hand. You are forgiven, my son. So God's power is enough. It is the only answer. So write down these verses so that you can be reminded of who God is and what he is able to do in your life. When you are discouraged, I want you to go back to these scriptures. When you feel down, when you feel depressed, you got to reference this stuff. But you're referencing it out of obedience, and your obedience is only coming out because you have a love relationship with Jesus. Because you love him, you want to look at this stuff. On a regular basis, you want to write these words on your heart because your hearts need his healing. You have woundedness. People have not done what they're supposed to do in your life, and you're hurting. And you don't know what to do. And God's telling you what to do. Psalms 35:10. With every bone in my body, I will praise him. Lord, who can compare you? Who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and poor from those who rob them? 1 Samuel 12:21. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that can't help or rescue you. They are totally useless. People, God is trying to go, this little thing isn't going to do it for you. But here's the problem. If you are wiped out, you keep thinking this flimsy little cord is going to do the trick. What you start doing is making people, places, and things your idol. Because anything that you depend on to renew your spirit is an idol. Your wife could be an idol. Your husband could be an idol. Your child, your job, your car, your home, your location. If you need those things and believe in your heart that those things would make you happy. And I shared this, I think, when my wife and I got to preach together, that last year at this time, I was suicidal. And I had a road to Damascus experience. Because in my head, I told the Lord what? I'm okay dying young because I would rather eat and be happy. What was my idol? Food. That's the worst idol of all because you guys actually, you might judge me for my weight, but food is that acceptable idol. Marriage is an acceptable idol. Our pastor is an acceptable idol. Trust me, John doesn't want to be your idol at all because he knows he can't do it for you. So if you're coming to this church and you need him to say the right words or preach just in the right way, and I got like super ghetto right there, I don't know what's happening. I felt uncomfortable too. But if you're going, you need to preach like this, or why doesn't he say that? And if he would just blah, 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 then I could, you're done, man. Get out. Because you're in the wrong place. This church better not be an idol. Right? We are here as a community to worship and praise him and encourage each other. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what declaration is. The freedom comes from your relationship with Jesus, not at this church, not from our sermons. Okay? Freedom is in Christ. Our goal is that you join with us in loving him. That's all we're asking. Because you need somebody to be encouraging, somebody to do this miserable journey. The best thing we have in our lives to look forward to is death. Do you realize that? It's not how it's supposed to be. We messed it up with sin. So it does stink. It really does. It's hard, it's hurtful, it's disappointing, and that's our fault. God didn't do that, right? This was not God's plan, so stop blaming God for your choices. God loves you so much that he gave you a choice. You know, people who think they're so smart, oh, well, if there is a God, and he's all powerful, then how come there's evil in the world? Because of us, not because of him. Real love has a choice. That's what love is. You're only going to experience, my wife can only experience genuine love for me if I have the option of totally unloving her and rejecting her and judging her, ignoring her. She can't feel loved by me if I don't have a choice. So God loves us so much that he gave us a choice and we blew it. If God's so powerful, then like how is his greatest act allowing, you know, his only son to get murdered? Man, you don't get it. Because the most powerful thing I can do in this world is lay down my life and sacrifice. You think that's easy? Let me make it a little harder, because dying and being tortured to death is pretty simple. Now try doing that for someone who doesn't deserve it. Oh, it's fun to die for someone who deserves it, defending, you know, if someone came running in and I die trying to defend, protect it, that's a good death. Now do it for that person that has hurt you the most in life. Then we'll talk. I want to see you lay down your life for that person. That's power. That's the power that recharges you. That's the power. You don't have the power. You are weak, but he is strong. 1 Samuel 12:21, don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that can't help or rescue you. They are totally useless. Romans 7:24. I love this. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? That's my point, man. Death is the greatest gift of all because we messed it up. When you need renewal, God has you. Isaiah, so write these verses down because I want you to be reminded of this. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Hebrews 13:6, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? That's the point. That's the point of plugging in to the ultimate power source is you got nothing on God. You're pathetic compared. So what am I worried about? Do your worst. Go for it. Because the more I suffer, the more I become strong. You want to know what the problem is with you? I'm going to get real judgmental right now. God gave me this one too. My mouth is drying up because I don't like confrontation. But out of obedience, I'm going to tell you this because I'm in it too, by the way. You want to know what our problem is? We're rich. We are. And if you think you're not, try judging it on a world standard. She knows. Hey, we're rich. Can I have an amen? Yeah, that's a problem. Jesus spent more time on money than anything else. Want to know why? Because rich people are dead. Because rich people think, I got it. I don't need nothing. I got a beautiful home. I got a Tesla Model X. I'm good. And you don't even know that you need a savior. Because life is too easy for us. You want to know why it's difficult for us to respond in prayer? For us to come front, man, first service I had it all together, and then this guy's leaning, praying, and his, I don't know how old his son is, young though, 7, 8, goes and just puts his arm around his father. See, that guy, and I know him, that boy is broken, and he knows he needs a savior. Rich people think we got it. We're good. And that is the worst place of all to be. I know that John's heart, my heart, everybody's heart here at Declaration is for you, out of your brokenness, for you to be honest about it. For you, when we offer prayer time, our heart is we want you to be able to respond and go, I need help. See, rich people like us, that's embarrassing. Well, I mean, I don't want to like let anybody know something's wrong. Every one of us are saying that. And I'm just going to ask that stops today. Because we have prayer partners. And I'm going to share a testimony at the end, and I have no idea I've been going long. There's a testimony at the end I'm going to share that happened this morning that one of you shared with me after the 9 a.m. That's the point. So God's got you. Your one job, though, is to tell God you need him. So run to God and let him renew your soul. 1 Samuel 7:8 is another one to write down. Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines, they begged Samuel. Right? So they're like, prophet, keep praying because we need him. See, rich people don't need him. Psalm 22:11, do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. Only God can help. Recognize God's power to renew your heart, because he came to heal the brokenhearted, Christ said. Exodus 18:10, praise the Lord, Jethro said, for he has rescued you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Yes, he has rescued Israel from the powerful hand of Egypt. This, I want you to hear, stop projecting your weakness onto God's greatness. Stop. Stop. God is unlimited. You think God's worried about that nasty person in your life? He's not. He has no fear. He conquers everything. Even death was conquered. You think he's worried about that kid of yours? About that spouse? About that parent? About that sibling? Man, God's not worried about that. So stop projecting your patheticness onto his greatness. Okay, the truth is, God loves you. That's the truth. So, friend, I mean, how long? Right? In my weakness, going, I'd rather die so I can eat and be happy. The Lord said, enough. But it wasn't like a rebuking. In my head and in my heart, the Lord went, whoa, I love you way too much to let you die because of this idol. That, brother, that is enough, man. Knock it off. You got to tell someone. And then I end up at one of my best friends is also my doctor, and that's not ever a good idea. And he weighed me, and he came into the room, and I'm sitting there, and he said, dude, are you trying to kill yourself? And for the first time, I was honest. And I looked at my friend, Dr. Peter Bigler, and I went, yeah. And then God used him to bring healing in my life over that issue. But it doesn't come until you go to him first. It doesn't come until you obey him first. So that was my road to Damascus salvation last year. You need that today. You need a little bit of his power to transform your life. Are you willing to trust him on that? Are, frankly, rich people, are we willing to be vulnerable enough? I mean, that was so much pride that I wasn't telling people what was really going on up here. I was too embarrassed. And I'm just going to tell you, stop being embarrassed. We're all hurting right with you. And there is no judgment here. There is only a desire for freedom, your freedom, by the way. So recognize God's power. That was Exodus 18. God has you no matter what. He will save you from trouble. Just look up Daniel 6:27. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the lion's den. Seriously? You think God was stressed out? Oh no, Daniel's in a lion's den. I don't know what we're going to have. I don't like God was suddenly a East Texan, but oh no, what's going to happen? I don't know if I can. Now he's an old man. There's a weird transformation happening. Like, come on. He didn't worry about it. He'll even deliver you from oppression. Psalm 72, 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. That's what he told me last year. Michael, you are precious. This is unacceptable to me. I still have things I want to do through you. And I responded. Are you going to respond this morning? Because this is the bummer. Because Jesus and God and throughout scriptures always talk about the poor and the weak. And we're sitting there in our seats week after week going, well, thank the Lord I'm not poor. The trouble is you are. Because it's poor in spirit. That's what we have here. We are poor in spirit because we're prideful. We're narcissistic. We actually think that we have control over things. That's adorable. It really is. Bless your heart, because you ain't got that. And we, unfortunately, are not as good as we think we are. We want to be here at Declaration. This is a word the Holy Spirit is giving me right now. We need to become poor in spirit. We need to be humble. We need to volunteer to be a prayer partner. I want to see every time when we say, hey, we got prayer partners around the room, I want literally this entire service to go spread out around the rooms. Because we know and are fully aware of how much we need him. Now we know we're starting to trust him. Now freedom can happen. Are you brave enough to get past your intellectual pride? Because we are so smart and educated. I promise you, I did grad school, and I almost had to get resaved after seminary. I had so much information that I was like, I don't know if there's a God. I went to seminary and lost my faith. Not really, but my Lord, it's not complicated. Are you willing to admit your brokenness? Are you really willing to reach out when you need it and to be authentic with someone? You know, we're not going to ever make you stand up and embarrass yourself, but are you willing to be the one when we go, hey, we got people here that want to pray for you? Are you willing to be prayed for and prayed to? Are we willing? Are we going to love each other and God that much? And if you don't believe me, I got to share. So after the first service, one of you came up to me and said, 30 days ago, we were divorcing. It was over. And then I reached out to someone, one of you, and she said, are you just willing to wait 30 days before making a decision? See, that's the Holy Spirit talking. Because how's that supposed to help? She kind of felt that, like, really? Okay, I'll commit. So she thought, she goes home from that meeting. This is from the 9 a.m. service. She goes home and is like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do for the next 30 days? And guess what he sent her? And I don't even know how. This is how awesome our God is. Because God used an ADD, unorganized, impulsive, slightly manic, and a little bit of narcissistic personality disorder thrown into the mix. God used that guy to randomly start a 28 straight day podcast where I was podcasting every day for 28 days in a row on the 28 statements from Jesus that can transform your relationship. She goes home and says, what am I going to do for 30 days? Bling. She goes, 28 statements from Jesus that can, oh, I could do that for the next 28 days. It's now day 26. And she hugged me. We hugged twice because on day 26, she was able to say, in my wildest imagination, I never would have dreamt the change that God would do when I started every single day focusing on his words. Michael, it transformed us. Now, they're still in the journey. But that's all she did, is she just started reading a statement from Christ every single day, and God delivered. God wants that for you, because who are you going to trust? Where are you going to plug in? The only option is him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you. Thank you for how you hugged me this morning, Lord, and just the transformation that you do, Lord, especially in my own life, and that you would tell me to do this story and on this morning that you would fit me into my father's coat. You are truly awesome, Lord. And so I just ask in the name of Jesus that you soften the hearts, God, that you awaken the minds of how broken they are, God, that they can be humbled and poor enough to run to you and to allow us to be your hands and feet, Father. So I just pray for humility in this church. God, I pray for brokenness and an awareness of how desperate we need you. Lord, maybe we need to go from declaration to desperation so that we are fully aware of how much we need you and that we got to plug into you. Lord, you used a guy, Lord, Sam Lamont, who has a famous mom and who doesn't know what he believes. But Lord, thank you for him. Thank you that he was at least honest enough to say, I don't know if I believe in God yet. All I know is that the people around me who are trusting in a higher power are all doing just a little bit better than me. Lord, just help increase their trust. Lord, increase their faith. God, and just ignite a spirit of freedom here at Declaration. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Declaration Podcast. I pray today that you feel encouraged, loved, and hopeful. If you missed us this week, join us next Sunday at Snyder Elementary in Spring, Texas at 9 and 11 a.m. We can't wait to meet you and welcome you home. Have a blessed day and see you soon.